Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Reverse Forecast podcast. This is our first episode of many, I'm sure. My name's Finn.
My name's Harry.
I'm 19.
I'm 18. nearly 19.
I think the youngest podcast racing pundits in the country, probably.
I'd have thought so. I haven't seen anyone else.
And
out there.
Today we're going to run through our story, how we got into racing, what we're up to in racing at the moment, and
the weekend. Like the weekend.
Yeah. And the festival first day. We're going to have a look at that. And we're hoping to get at least 4 episodes out before the first day of the festival, which means we'll run through a day of each card.
All 4 days we'll get run through.
Perfect. Right, so let's get into it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da. So Finn, tell us how you got involved in racing.
So I've been in racing all of my life through my family. My uncle is Jamie Osborne, who is an ex-jockey, now a flat trainer. And obviously cousin is Safi Osborne, who's a jockey. And mum has been around racing through him as her whole life. And I got involved in it forever. I've always been involved in it.
With aspiring jockey, yeah.
Aspiring jockey. A jockey that's got way too lanky to ever be a jockey.
Heavy to be making the weights.
But no, I've always loved it. Loving it as much as ever at the moment as well. The racing is so good at the moment and it's great. How did you get into it, Harry?
I got into it by Finn just
bringing you to gamble.
Bringing me along to Cheltenham last year on the first day of the festival. He convinced me to come along, and we started off the day very well.
We set up about 6 betting accounts.
Yeah,
taking loads of free bets on.
Getting the free bets.
Didn't have to pay for anything in the day, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And started off what was an amazing day.
What was the first? Oh yeah, it was the Supreme.
Constitution Hill bolting up. Then we had Honeysuckle coming in. That was a cool moment seeing her coming in. Biggest memory on the day, I think, was Marie's Rock.
No, it's got to be Brazil.
No, I think Marie's. Well, for me yeah. Mainly.
We had such a good day that day. It was my favorite day I've ever been racing. That first day at the track.
I think it was. It's just that the atmosphere there is like second to none.
It does help when you're back a few minutes as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But we I just remember that. That Brazil race, beating Gaelic Warrior by like a short head on the line,
on the bump.
Jumping up and down and annoying everyone around us, going like, "Who the hell are these weird kids shouting and knocking me over?" I think they got quite annoyed in the end, to be honest, actually.
Yeah, I think they did.
But at the moment, I started off pony racing. I did pony racing my whole life from when I was 11 in England and Ireland, and then I point to point for 3 years with 2 point to pointers, one being the mole care, which we got out of Dan Skelton's yard, who is an absolute gentleman, the horse and the person, obviously.
Very nice horse.
And we have now to get ourselves more involved in racing,
yeah,
or just like a different angle into
just
racing.
Like, yeah, I'd say just be immerse ourselves more, yeah, into it.
We have taken over a joint partnership of the mole care to race under our name and our own colours.
Got some nice new colours.
Some lovely new
freshly
colours.
Freshly ordered. We tried to keep it simple. Dark blue with the light blue hoop. Light blue armlets.
White cap.
Which you actually forgot to put on the order.
Yeah.
The white
I put
hat.
In the order and it was like white on the page, so I just put it in anyway, and then they ended up ringing me going, "You've got no colour for your cap. We haven't done it. What would you like me to do?" I was like,
We could have had no cap.
No cap.
Race with no cap.
Skull cap. Yeah, that would work. So he is going to be racing this season under the Reverse Forecast partnership, and we hope to develop it more as we get older and get more horses, syndicate them out, and create a kind of, I don't know, a kind of brand with it, I guess. We don't really know what the plan is completely now, but
we're just
good place
we're
to
just
start.
Seeing where it takes us, I think.
Yeah, but he was the best pointer that I rode, and he seems like he's nice horse. What rating's he been given now?
Over fences, 122, yeah, 122.
He was going to, I'm not sure when he's going to run first, but
hopefully sure in the next few weeks.
Anyone listening, look out for him.
Yeah, it's a complete unknown. We don't know how he
don't know if he's worth a bet or not. Most importantly, obviously. We don't know. But it is seriously exciting, and hopefully one day we'll have a run at Cheltenham. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Not even the festival. That's I don't even dream. Care if it's the festival or not. Exactly. I just want it somewhere.
Even that Cheltenham April meeting would be a nice one. Yeah. Quite like that meeting.
Well, the meeting this weekend is so nice.
Yeah, especially the nine race cards.
Ridiculous.
I'm gassed for that.
That's going to be good. I'm very excited. So that is how we both got into racing and where we are at the moment. Now we're going to run through the Cheltenham card on Saturday, and we're going to talk through our favourite races. We will leave out a few races, talk to our favourite races, and give you our best bets.
Now we're going to be looking at the Cheltenham Trials meet this weekend,
which, as we've already said, is a 9-race card, which just seems ridiculous.
It's going to be a long day.
It's either going to be a very expensive day, or
I'm sure it'll be.
What was it? What do you always say?
The X's will get paid for. I'm sure.
Pay for the X's, a few plot jobs. Right. I just have to explain on the first episode. I'm going to have to explain. We use the word plot job a lot. And it doesn't, I think we thought that plot job meant when you like set up a horse to win a race. We don't actually know if that's the terminology or whether that's a thing or not, but
it's a horse we fancy a lot, basically. Yeah. So when we say that, it means we like it.
And we are warning you, we will say that a lot. It just happens a lot.
That is a common word that comes up.
It's a plot job.
Yeah, there are different ways you can say it.
Different forms of plot.
Yeah.
So the first race on the Saturday is the Triumph Hurdle. It's the first trial race, isn't it?
Juvenile Hurdle.
It's favourite for the Triumph moment. Oh, Lossie Mouth, isn't it?
Yeah. That's over 2-1 on the new course.
And Blood Destiny as well. That's gonna be exciting. That's such a good race.
So tell us what your opinions are on this race.
So I think I am going to have a bet on Scriptwriter. I started off looking at this race. When I looked at this race, I went Jupiter Jeet. But the more I look at that last race and how it fell apart in the heavy ground, and we don't really know what he beat. Like, obviously, he beat Jet Powered, but I don't think he was anywhere near what he did on debut that day.
I was hoping that...
Also, the weight as well on that day.
Yeah, the weight. He was bottom weight with a claimer.
So much light in the
room. It was.
There's also Des Dixon Cove in that race as well, and I think he's entered in on Friday.
He's not running anymore.
So he's definitely going here.
See, I thought that would be a good idea on the form on comfort zone. Seeing Dixon Cove run on Friday.
But if you put the Scriptwriter at Cheltenham when he won last time. When last time he ran at Cheltenham before he won on the flat the other day, he beat Persis Way by 2.25 lengths, and Comfort Zone beat Persis Way by 2.25 lengths into third.
That's true.
They beat each other by exactly the same. I know the ground was different track and all that, but they beat each other by the same distance.
Yeah, I think your point with Scriptwriter is a very valid one, because
I think difference between 9-4 and 7-2 is way too much between them. If you can get a hurdler, what odds was he when he won at Wolverhampton last time?
11-1
to win at Wolverhampton coming from behind. That is some pace. I mean, if the ground's not too heavy to blunt his speed, I think
they're going soft currently.
I think it will be right there, because I was against when he ran at Cheltenham that time. I was against him. I remember being completely against him.
Yeah, who were
and
we
backing,
on?
There was that was the race where I think that was the race where there was a Nichols horse that came over. Was it? There was a Nichols horse that hadn't run in the UK before, and it was favourite, and everyone.
No,
was backing
we were on Mr. Freedom. You know the
but he was in that race that
there was a Cobden one called Blue King Dorox.
Blue King Dorox, I don't know how you pronounce that. Has he run since? Yeah, he was rubbish again at Taunton. That's favourite. But yeah, I think that puts his way for him. That would tie them in, and I think it's definitely worth a bet. What do you think?
Going with the on-script race, I think going from Cheltenham to going back on the flat, just I think it was purely to get a run in and prize money.
I was about to say doesn't play with his handicap mark, but it's not even a handicap, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I think I remember seeing that it was to do with he needs to get some prize money. And it also
Milne Harris has quite a few on the flat as well.
Gives him a good run out. But yeah, just he's got the speed, obviously. Mm. And I think.
What about any others in the field? Think of anything else? I don't really.
Can't say I do.
It's a competitive race, as you can tell. Mm. 9-4, 11-4, 130, 7-2, first four in the market, and then 25-1.
I'm surprised Scriptwriter is four favourite, to be honest.
Yeah. It's just like the unknown of Jupiter de Gilles.
Yeah, exactly.
The form of Comfort Zone, Dixon Cove, intertwined. But no, I think that's definitely worth the bet. 7-2.
Yeah. I've got 4-1 best price.
Getting 4-1. So moving on to the second race. This is the Novice Handicap Chase, the 12-10 on the day. At the moment, it's Fire Dancer 11-4 favourite. I remember Fire Dancer last time out. We had a friend who'd backed it. We were just watching the race. We didn't have a bet on it. I just remember it kicking clear with so much pace. And then coming over him second last, I was like, ooh.
He messaged us and he was like, oh, easy.
He was filming it. I remember he was live filming it. And he was like, how easy? And then it came in to jump the last fence. He was like, oh. And it ended up being tight. I didn't like that at all.
On the bob.
To be fair,
it was after a 2-year layoff.
Yeah, no. He just didn't have the fitness on the day, maybe.
Come on for the
run. I do think he's got a good chance. But like, this race is so complicated. There's so many like old heroes, if you know what I mean. Like, Unexpected Party, Great Hurdler. I remember it winning at Ascot on the bridle. Won by 4.5 lengths that day. Last year, and it's gone chasing. I remember first time out at Exeter, it kind of all went wrong for him. He got bumped into by Campron when he was unseated, and it kind of got interfered with his race, and he still ran a really good race to come in second behind McFabulous, only 9 lengths. And I thought last time, I remember both of me and you both backed him when he was odds on favourite last time.
Oh, yes, I remember.
When he was second. I just thought he would just have too much class for that field, and he really disappointed.
Well, I think everyone thought
and I kind of don't really know where I stand with him now. I've kind of followed him off a cliff a bit, I think, when I've kind of reached the edge. Also, I think Panic Attack has so much more ability than what he displays. I remember him as a bumper horse winning really impressively, and he was kind of, I'm pretty sure he was not favourite, but almost favourite for the champion bumper a few years ago. He didn't run his race, but I remember him looking really impressive. What was he?
He was
10-1 on the day that day.
That was where Fernie Hollow won it.
Yeah, yeah. But there's so many like characters here which I just can't trust. Stage Star, I can't trust him. Watching him on debut, I was like, this is the novice chaser for the English to go. I thought he was gonna do a brave man's game basically and like, put himself forward, be in the betting for the King George next year and things like that. But I just think he's just not as good as everyone thinks. And even though he won easily last time out, he was 9-1 on. He beat a horse called Morlatch. He was, no disrespect to the horse, but he's rated 130. And
Can't speak.
And that is a complicated race. But I think I'm going to have to go with the favourite, to be honest. I think it's the only one I can trust.
Yeah, I'm in a bit of a undecisive mind.
It's a tough race.
I think if I wasn't there, I wouldn't have a bet on it, 100%.
But because you're there, you're going to have to bet on it, is that what you're
saying?
Yeah. Because you're there, it's just got to be done.
I mean, I think I'm gonna
sit out of this one.
No, I'm not going to sit out, but I'm going to... I'm going to see what the market is saying on the day, I think.
I'm just thinking right now, just being stood in the Arkle bar at Cheltenham, just pint in hand.
Of course you are.
Pint in hand, jacket on, watching a horse come in. Dream, dream place.
Well, hopefully it won't be...
Watching Fire Dancer and Scriptwriter come in the first two races. How easy.
Yeah, I do.
How easy, Harry.
That'll be a proper how easy.
Plot jobs. That's what they
Plot
are.
Jobs.
Okay, so the next race on the card is a cross-country race, and this has got a lot of the old boys, the old-timers have been around the block. I think.
Oh, I didn't realise this. Delta Works got a claimer.
Yeah, I think he's a good jockey. I've seen him before. I've seen him around the block in Ireland winning a few races. He's an amateur jockey. There's a few of them. Second favourite. Singing Banjo has got an amateur jockey on as well.
What are your thoughts on this race?
I think Delta Works is gonna be hard to beat. And I hate to go for another favourite, but I can't really look past him. Because I think Tiger Roll at the festival in his cross country race is almost unbeatable in a cross country race, I think.
Agreed.
And the fact that Delta Work could obviously get near him and beat him, I just don't think that any other horse in this field could do that.
Well, and a third in the national as well, like he's got.
Yeah. But that bit of form sticks out to me. I just don't see maybe Easy's Land back in the...
Well, he beat the second favourite last time out as well.
Yeah. But there's horses like Easy's Land. Like Easy's Land was favourite for the cross country race a few years back. Was the cross country horse to beat for a bit of time, and then has kind of fallen off, and age has got to him, and
not in form at all.
He's not in form at all. But you know, if you go back through the form, he did beat Tiger Roll by 17 lengths at the Cheltenham Festival.
Is he the same horse?
No, he's not. Sadly, not for me anyway.
You have a soft spot for Snow Leopardess.
She has been an absolute hero of a horse. So she retired from racing, went and had a foal, and then has come back from having a foal, and is better than ever. It's so unheard of. For a horse to be able to do that. And this is her first try of the cross country fences. We know that she's great on a over a national fence, as she's proven many a time. And she was, I think she was, did she go a favourite for last year's national?
No, that was...
But I remember her being banged there, and she was banged there in the betting. And
Run
the,
Wild Fred?
Virtual. I think she on the, even though it's not in a race, but she won the virtual Grand National.
Did she?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure she did. I think I remember seeing it. Because I remember the virtual Grand National seems to do, annoyingly for punters that study the form, the virtual Grand National seems to get it better correct than most people. And
do you actually know, is it some algorithm that does that?
I have no idea. I've honestly got no idea how they do it.
Yeah, because I remember watching them like speaking about.
I think the Grand National is more. I don't know if it's the same algorithm as like Neymarket, Virtual Newmarket, or it's all different algorithms that different people decide. I've got no idea.
Sure.
But I mean, it seems to clearly work.
It sounds like you're strong on Delta Work.
I am, and there's all of these horses like that have been, they've been around for a long old time. Deshi Abba, I remember backing that Cheltenham Festival a few years ago for the National Hunt Chase, I think it was. I think he just finished out of places 1 year. I'm not too sure, but I think I do remember that. And so there's Easy Zaz, Snow Leopardess, Pan of Attack, Back on the Lash. Oh, like Foxy's Jack, Manella Times, obviously the Grand National winner, who we haven't even touched on. What do you think of her? Do you think she's got any chance?
Well, not really. No, if I'm being completely, I'm being completely honest, not really.
There's a lot of out-form horses.
Yeah,
but obviously it is Delta Works' first run of the season.
No, it isn't.
I'm wrong.
He ran in November and he beat the year's second favourite, Singing Banjo.
Yeah.
And he had weight in hand.
So November. I mean, he's had a layoff.
Oh yeah. I no, but he was meant to be running in December. Like, I think it's an it's just he's just been timing. Waiting he for this race.
He hasn't felt it. Don't think so for this race. Plot job, mate.
Yeah. I think he's good price as well.
I think he's a great price. 11-4. That is
a good bet.
Definitely a good bet.
I don't know where that is. If that's so across that's the border,
that'll work for us in the cross country. 11-4.
That'll
I think
work.
Best price at the moment. 11-4. Maybe find three somewhere, but 11-4. So, moving on to the next race. This is the Clarence House, which has obviously been rescheduled from Ascot.
We were actually trying to.
Yeah, we were trying to go then, just to see an Ojamin. I remember.
We're gonna go.
I remember we are massive fans of Up in the Ante. We watch it every single week, Tuesday 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I remember Johnny Dineen going, Ojamin, I'm literally gonna put the wife and kids on it. The whole house.
He's putting his house.
The
he's
mortgage,
his house.
Yeah, put the whole house on it. And to be honest, I kind of agreed with him. Yeah. Not that I have a house age 19, but still. I had one. Chuck it on an Ojamin. And
put your student loan on it.
Yeah. Put a whole student put the loan student on loan. An Ojamin. But to be honest, now with the races at Cheltenham, I kind of sit in the balance. I still think of an Ojamin definitely the most likely winner. But obviously Edward Stone at Cheltenham has proven form of being really
that
smart,
is true.
Winning the Arkle.
That is true.
A few years ago we were there.
Yeah.
That day. I remember we backed
had a bet
him.
On
we backed
yeah.
him that day.
Had a bet on him. Yeah.
God, that day was good. I now just thinking back.
It was very good.
I think I tipped up 5 out of 7 that day. Out of 7.
Didn't get Marie's 7. Rock though, did you?
No, I didn't get Marie's Rock. Leave that one to you.
I just the Tingle Creek, he was just a proper horse. Obviously Shishkin wasn't
devastating.
Wasn't up
really
to
thought he was gonna come back that
par.
Day. I was
then I'm just baffled by Kempton. He's just just
yeah, I don't know.
Unfortunate, isn't it?
It's just unfortunate. Just things like that happen. It's like I just remember watching that Edward Stone race when he won last time out. But it's just so funny, like his profile is he was like a top class handicap hurdler and has now become a grade one chaser. Like these horses, usually they're like supreme horses and they're grade one novice hurdlers that then go chasing to then win the grade ones. Like his profile, he was a handicap hurdler for years, for maybe 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing him over handicaps. And just talking about Shishkin last time. I was keen on him. I'm a big fan of Shishkin. I always have been. Now it's sad to see. But I remember my one big memory of Shishkin is I, at school, used to. This was before I could bet, so I used to just write tips all the time. Mm. And I tipped up Cheltenham races to all of my teachers every year. I'd write a full page article on all of my bets for the day, and I'd email them out to my teachers for them to have a look at and have a bet if they wanted to. And I remember my PE teacher, Mr. Manhenia. He was, do you remember Mr. Manhenia?
Mm-hmm.
He was on Shishkin for the Supreme because I tipped him up. For the first day, of the first race of the first day, he went to the betting shop and put on a bet from my tip. And I just remember being his favourite student for a whole half an hour until the next bet lost. But for that half an hour, it was elite.
You were living life.
Literally. And then I remember the rest of that day, every other bet lost. All of them lost. And all of them hated me. But they didn't actually hate me. But
learn your lesson now.
I learned my lesson, exactly.
I don't think this will win, but I have got a lot of time for Amarillo Sky. He's obviously...
His jumping ability.
He just jumps like a machine. Obviously, it's a massive step up in class.
So we've got... There people are trying to reopen the entries, aren't they?
Yeah.
And like they did, hence why Jijij got in. But
yeah, he got supplemented.
I was really hoping that more would come in. And to be honest, I'm really hoping that more horses from Ireland came over to take on an Ojamin.
Mm.
I think races like this, like, they just need
what's
to
the
have
prize money on this?
No, not off the top of my head. I think it's always Clarence, it's a valuable race, Clarence House. But I feel like races like this just aren't enough, you know, like, there's not enough representation for these races. Like, this is a lot better than what it was going to be at Ascot. It was only a two-man race. It was
just exactly. And Ergomin would have led at the front, and then Edwardstone would have sat at the back. Yeah,
exactly, and just tracked around.
Amarillo Sky would have been in the middle. So. Easy.
But, like, it's like, it just makes me think about, like, the Punchestack Dublin Racing Festival. Oh, the UK representation of that is terrible.
Mm, it is.
It is terrible.
I think there's only two.
I think we've been caught.
I think there is another one. I remember. On the top of my head, I'm not sure.
I remember, because obviously We've All Been Caught was going to run at Cheltenham and now is going to Dublin Racing Festival. But yeah, this race, if I had a couple more runners and I could get Amarillo Sky each way, it's 66-1. I think it's such value.
I would take that as well.
Sadly, obviously with only six runners, you only get two places. And obviously if there were seven runners, you wouldn't quite be that big a price. But
to be fair, if you get two places...
What?
You never know.
Yeah, Edwardstone could make a mistake again. You know, anything can happen. But
yeah, exactly.
It's tough one. I don't think I'll be having a bet in this race, sadly. But if
I will have him in a combination, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I agree with that. I'll put Ernesto in the combination. I do think he is the winner. But I'm not going to be backing him at 15-8 on. Not sure that's the bet for me of the day.
Lump job.
And this is a big, tough race.
I love these big handicaps.
There's
always one in the Cheltenham meeting.
And there's always Cool Cody lurking in the background going, just bet on me. I always win at Cheltenham. Just bet on me. Yeah,
exactly.
And then you bet on him and it's the one time he doesn't win at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Every time. I always miss him. He's always sat there 16-1. It's just...
Tell you who's been in all of these handicaps this season is Il Redotto, one of Paul Nichols's.
He's been backed in heavy.
Personally, I'm not a fan purely because he's been racing off very low weights and he's just not quite getting there.
Yeah, 10-12 last time.
Not quite getting there. He is down. He's
such an almost horse, you know, and they're just almost that kind of.
I think he's dropped a pound since the last race, I think. Gone from 139 to 138.
Races like this are so complicated. Like Fugitive, like that horse last time was so impressive.
Good horse. He
was in charge of that race from the get go, won it on the bridle ease down when the people were slugging along behind in the head. In that it was like soft ground that day as well, and he won it so easily.
I had a little bet on the New Year's Day meet at Cheltenham on Brave Shashka in the handicap. I didn't think she performed that well, to be honest.
But I just remember watching when he won off top weight. He won 12-1 that day when he won at Aintree, and I was like, first run of the season to do that. Like, he had the layoff from March till that win. To do that is so impressive. And I really thought he'd have a better display at Cheltenham, but I think off 12-1 up that hill, or maybe the turnaround was too soon. I don't know what it was, but I could definitely see him running a big race again.
Mm. Fair point.
Was he won at Cheltenham? I can't think off the top of my head. No, I think he ran in the uphill, but I don't think he did well.
He fell.
Oh, he's really not doing well.
Yeah, you could say that. I personally, for me, it is a hard one. I would probably just go for Fugitive, purely the way he won last time.
There's so many angles to back a horse each way as well.
Mm.
Precious Eleanor frustrates me. I always feel like she travels so well. She looks like she's going to do so much better, and then it kind of slightly falls apart at the end.
Mm.
And I always want to back her. I've backed her a couple of times and not won. And now
you were like, back this on each way last time at Sandown, and I didn't back her. And I was just watching her. I was like, oh, she's going to win.
Yeah,
she's going to win. And then sadly, Didn't come to fruition.
And the Phoenix Way, when this race was going to be at Ascot, everyone was fancying Phoenix Way because Phoenix Way won this race last year when it was at Ascot.
Oh, was this race at Ascot last
year?
Yeah,
it's been rescheduled. Pretty sure.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm almost 100% sure it has. I remember looking through his car when it was at Ascot. Pretty sure. Anyway.
Nah, you're chatting, mate. You're chatting.
But Phoenix Way at Ascot, what a horse. Phoenix Way, not Ascot, can't have it.
Doesn't like
I
it.
I think I'm stuck. I think I'm just stuck on Fugitive. I'm not sure I can really look past him.
Agreed.
So I think that's Fugitive for us, 5-1.
Yeah. I think before we go on to the next race, I think I've got a question for you, Finn.
What is it?
There's a big question here, so yeah. answer wisely. What is your first beer of the day, or IPA, or cider?
My
first drink of the day.
Well, if I'm going a first day of a Cheltenham, I'm always going for the pints to start straight away.
Is this IPA lager?
IPA, man. I'm IPA. Such an IPA man.
The Atlantic
I'm
IPA.
I'm just so London. That's what it is.
How much is that going to set you back then?
Too much. What's the difference between lager and an IPA? Is it anything?
I think they're
50p?
The same now. They're all 750 now.
750 now.
Yeah, they're all 750. Doubles have gone up to £15 now.
It is just awful. It is bad. Like a bit of me doesn't blame them, I guess.
I do,
but
think it
for
is
me, it's just too much. It just. Especially for as people who are racing so as often as us.
They want to try and tie people into racing. And
racing's just not all about race. Like obviously, racing is not all about the racing. Racing's about the occasion, the drinks and the mates and having a little bet.
Having a good day out.
And to have a good day out, you know, we're British. We need to drink. It's just what's in our blood. It just happens.
Agreed.
And, at those prices.
I think either a Madra or an Aspals, I think.
I tell you, second day, if it's a two-day meeting, got a bit carried away on the first day.
Yeah.
Aspal, first drink of the day, second day.
Yeah,
just to
agreed.
Warm you in a bit.
100%.
Get the head a little bit fuzzy for the next one.
And then once the racing's finished, you won loads of money, straight to the Guinness tent. If there's
straight
a ban in
the
Guinness tent.
The Guinness Village and I don't even drink Guinness. I'm just standing there.
If not, go to the... What's the... Centurion, that's it. That's always got
the
a
one
good
at the
line
top,
bad.
I like that.
Yeah.
So funny, actually. Good story. We finished the day's racing and there was a horse at Newcastle?
Yeah.
I want to say Newcastle.
Yeah.
That Huggett really fancied and he had a bet on it.
It was one of Carl Burke's. The horse called Flight Plan.
Bad version of Flight Line.
Yeah. Better Flight Line.
Yeah, better Flight Line. Rated 141. But and I remember we'd be in the Centurion after a day's racing. We'd won a bit of money and he really fancied his horse. We put a bet on he won some money in cash in the Centurion. It was so funny.
Yeah, and then we went to the sales after.
Yeah, we went to the sales. Honestly, anyone that's going to Cheltenham, I couldn't recommend going to the sales anymore.
Mm.
They are... It's like there's something so like aesthetically pleasing about it.
Mm.
Like that thought that any horse walking into that paddock could be... The next energy beam, you know what I mean?
I do also advise, do not stick your hand up when you walk
do not
in
stick
there.
I've done it before. I so I was in a sales ring, Tastels, in Newmarket, and I was with my dad, and Jamie was across the ring, and I pointed over and said, Dad, Jamie's over there. And the auctioneer looked at me and went, are you in? Are you in, sir? And my dad was like, no, he's not in. I don't know, I could have bought Frankel by accident. You never know.
Well,
who knows? I want to know what that horse was. I'd never be able to follow it.
I thought it was... Was it?
The horse that I almost bid on. I got no idea what happened to it.
I remember it. I think it was...
You remember it?
Yeah. I think it was... what's it called? Native Trail, I think.
Yeah, was it? Was it Native Trail? Was it? Yeah.
Sadly, I don't think
it was. It was me versus Sheikh Mohammed in a little... I thought you were actually going to tell me what I almost bought there. No, I thought no. You genuinely knew.
No. How would I know? I wasn't that.
I don't know. I was like 10 as well. But no, that's funny. Next one is the Grade 2 Cotswold Chase. And this is Protector S race. Currently 13-8 favourite.
Yeah. Very interesting race.
It's just... Ahoy, Senor, I can't back him anymore. I can't do it.
Fallen out of love.
I've fully fallen out of love. And I just remember Ahoy, Senor, like the horse he's changed. I mean, he won at 50-1 in a novice hurdle at Aintree a couple of years ago. And then he went back to Aintree again. And he was so impressive. And he was my whole horse. He was my King George. It's his race. He's going to win it from a long way out. And as time went on, I was just like... He's so inconsistent and can't. He's jumping frustrates me so much. If he was in the stairs hurdle division, I just think he would be so good in such a weak division at the moment. But like still having Paisley Park, what a horse, mate. But he's still dominating all of those races.
Yeah.
At age 12.
I do think Ahoy Senor at Aintree last time against Noble Yates. He did look like the winner a few fences out. He was travelling well, and then he just kind of wasn't there.
And
anymore.
It could be an unpopular opinion, but I'm just not sure how I feel about Noble Yates' sudden burst of speed at the end of Aintree last time. It kind of just came a little bit out of nowhere. I like a horse that travels into it and looks smart, and he looked beat and then found this gear out of nowhere, and I just... Will that gear come in on the hill?
That's the question.
We know he stays. He won the Grand National.
Yeah.
But I think
It's whether he stays quick.
I think Protector I have too much class for these. I don't think there's really much else to say on this race, to be honest.
Agreed? Protector at best price, 13-8.
So this is the stairs hurdles race. And as I said, I said Paisley Park was 12. He's only 11. He's a young spring animal at the age of 11.
Get it wrong.
But to have an 11-year-old in a grade 2 3-mile hurdle to be 6-5 favourite, that is, in full respect to the horse, but it's just that division is just so weak at the moment.
I have to say here, I'm definitely with Dashiell Drasher. Very.
Definitely with Dashiell Drasher. So when I was point-to-pointing, my horses are at Jeremy Scott's yard. And I rode out there a lot, and it's such a lovely yard and a great place to be. And obviously, I've seen Dashiell Drasher every morning that I've ridden out, and he's just such a gentleman. He always tries his heart out, keeps going every time. He will always give his full running, and I think he might just outstay these. To be honest with you, I think he might just get. And Jelena Blair, I can't trust it.
Yeah, Dashiell Drasher was very good in the Real Kill hurdle at Cheltenham last time.
What was that behind Reese Rock?
Very. He was,
and that was over 2.5.
I almost thought he was going to win it before the last fence, and then Reese Rock pulled away. But I am definitely with Dashiell Drasher at 4-1.
I know that Gino Bello was a Grade 1 hurdle 3-mile winner at Aintree last year, but I just don't think the form of that is very good. Gentleman Arms, really like lovely horse, but he hasn't really proven anything this year. Crystal Glory, gone chasing, looks really smart, and then so obviously something went wrong last time. I remember he was in 2-in-a race, and he pulled up and left the winner. The winner's
Iron
running
Bridge,
today, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was it? Iron Bridge running today.
Iron Bridge, I think.
Yeah, so we're recording this at 2:20 on a Thursday. So, what's the racing on today? Tiopu. We're just watching Tiopu right now, in case you want us to know. That's what's going on right now.
What is happening in the Tiopu race?
Any good?
I'm just looking now. I don't actually know. He's 1-500, so I'm guessing he's won.
There you go. There's a winner for the day. Celebrate. What was it? 2-1 on? Yeah, big prize backers here, guys.
5-2 on.
But in terms of this race, I think we both agree on Dashiell Drasher. Best price around 4-1 at the moment, and I think it's definitely worth a bet.
4-1.
The next race is an exciting race. I'm probably the most, it's the Ballymore trial.
I'm very excited about this
and
race.
I'll let Huggett talk about Pembroke.
So in this race I'm with a horse called Pembroke, the favourite. I first watched him.
Got a soft spot for this horse.
Yeah, I have. I first watched him at Chepstow. I was there for the day. I had a bet on him. He was racing in the 2 mile maiden. And he was against Tamuris. He was running well and he did look a likely winner.
Smack that fence, I remember.
Two out.
That.
Before the second last, I was like, okay, he's travelling well. And then smacked it, lost some ground. Tamuris carried on going, smacked the last. Tamuris carried on going. And Pembroke dropped out.
To be fair, that on that day, I didn't think he picked, after his mistakes, I thought he would pick up better than he did.
Yeah.
I thought he might. Like, it could have just, like, he could have shocked himself or put him out of his stride. But I was hoping for a bit more on that day.
Yeah, agreed. And then he went to Weatherby, won by 6 lengths in a novice hurdle. And then the best form is last time out against Western Zenfer and Aramont.
The third in that race came out of 1, didn't it?
Yeah,
it was big odds on in a weak race, but you know, still won the third. And I think that form could stack up to be quite good.
And I think he's a very likeable horse. Yeah,
is my thinking. But I think in the long run, Henry II, second favourite at threes. I think Henry II will be a better horse. I think he is gorgeous. He is massive, big white face. And when he goes chasing, he will be special. But I think at the moment, I think Pembroke will just have too much class. Blenkinsop, nice horse. Came from the back last time. Kind of didn't look beaten, but looked a bit out of it, a bit out of pace coming home in the heavy ground. Mud soaked. Kicked a long way clear. But I'm not sure he'll quite have the class for this race, if I'm being honest. I think it's... For me, it's Pembroke's race to lose.
Agreed.
So I also think in the Pembroke race, I also think I am willing to give Mufasa another chance.
You've got a little love story with this horse.
It will probably be a cliff horse. One of those horses that I back and I fall off a cliff with it. But I just remember when he beat Music Drive at Cheltenham, I backed him and there was just something about that performance that I really like. Really nice type of horse as well, big and strong. And last time he was just too bad to be possibly true. And there must have been something wrong with him. I didn't read what came out after, whether he is scoped badly or something wrong with his wind or no idea. But at 20-1, if you're looking for an each-way bet, I would recommend Mufasa each way.
Yeah.
But I think it's Pembroke for us.
Mufasa Pembroke's each way. Race.
On to the last race. I think probably the biggest cliff horse in training, my eye. At 9-2. David Jennings' worst nightmare is what this horse is. And I thought he was going to talk. I thought on the Upping the Ante episode, I thought he was going to talk about My Eye so much. We didn't get anything. We didn't get any My Eye. No. Oh, and I thought he was like, oh, my charity bet this week is going to be My Eye to win again.
I hope just to see David Jennings happy.
No, because I think he's fallen off the cliff now. I don't think he'll back it anymore, and it will win. And then he'll be like, oh my God, the one time. Or, to be fair, he's tipped it up for the stairs hurdle, so. But back down to 2 mile 1, I'm not sure that's going to happen. I think that's a...
I have to say, punctuation, I was there in December at Cheltenham last time out.
Nice horse.
Very
four
nice.
Four in a row.
Beat two friendly. I backed two friendly that day, actually.
I backed any higher than asking. I remember finished fourth because it's the only horse that's
beaten Constitution Hill.
That's it. That horse will be famous forever just for that one point to point run.
Yeah, agreed. What happened there?
I've got no idea. I wish we could be more in touch with the Irish point scene. Is it replays to like see them? I feel like it's really hard to get your hands on a video of a horse winning an Irish point. Or even, like, imagine me, it came from Lark Hill. I've raced at Lark Hill. Like, it's just
Did
like
you
a,
win?
No, I didn't win. I did point-to-point pony racing, though. I did win Lark Hill pony racing. But...
Well done. Do you want a medal or something?
Funny. But, like, it's just crazy. Like, you could be in Lark Hill watching a point-to-point day and Energemi's won. Like, I'd love to go to Ireland and go to Irish Points and just, like, have a day and just see what it's really like.
You can actually watch some of the video. If you go on Tatterstools, you can watch... all the horses that have been sold, you can watch their points races if they've had them.
I didn't even know that. I remember I've seen Jet Powered's point to point. I've seen Appreciate It's point to point. But I think that's just because obviously they were such good horses, they then released the footage of them, I guess. But no, I'd love to see more of that form, to be honest with you.
I'm not having a bet in this race. Actually,
my cliff horse. It is. I believe that he is. He probably is my cliff horse. Is Campron.
28-1 best price.
Last time it was, he just wasn't given a chance. Last time out, it was just scrappy. He was brought down second fence, and it was just you can't really do anything about it. I remember he won in Ireland in that big handicap. I backed him. He saved me out of a bit of a hole that day. I remember where was it? Where was that? That Punchestown, I think. Top of my head. Maybe. I think it was at Punchestown. And he's then gone chasing since.
Yeah, Punchestown. Yeah,
he's gone chasing since, and he just doesn't quite have that spark that he did over Hurdles. And I think, you know, to see Aidan Coleman on him is obviously a positive. He's in the first colours as well. Well, he should be on the day. And I think he will give his running. And I'm not sure you can say that about all the horses in this field, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I'm not sure why Picard is so short. Because
he's not really... He hasn't really had... He's had barely any lifetime starts. And he's kind of got that... He's got that little bit of edge, that little bit of class to him. I remember when he won at Chepstow, he had that little bit of... You know, when you watch a horse and you're like, he's got that little bit of class.
Yeah.
And then last time out the ground was just too soft. It was just heavy. They all came home covered in mud. And I think they think that his handicap mark is... lower than it should be. Like, he's off 10.73. That's crazy light.
But what's your pick in this race then?
I'll be back in Campron each way.
Campron.
I think on Raw Ability, I think he has this. But I also think that Punctuation has a chance of being better than these horses. But
I am staying clear of this race, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
Give us all, if you had to have a bet.
But I had to have a bet.
Into your head.
I think I would be betting on. I know I just said I did like it, but I think I'll bet on Picker. A little each way, 6-1.
It's got to be done.
Just to pay the X's, I think I'll.
Well, that is the end of
the Cheltenham card.
Okay, so this section is we're going to call it just the £10 challenge.
Yeah.
And this is, if you've got a £10 round, or you go to the races and you just want to have one bet on the day, or you want to pay for a bit of X's, as Harry says all the time.
Pay for your X's.
Pay for your X's. So we're just going to give you our one best fancy of the day on Saturday at Cheltenham. And
which we'll both each put a tenner on, and then each episode will be
calculate how much we've got and how much we want, and then
see who the winner is,
or see if you would be negative betting with our tips. So my £10 challenge bet is going to be Delta Work in the cross country. I think 11-4 is too big. I think I just don't see horses in this race being able to keep up with it. I just don't think they have that class. He's got that grade one class, he's got the form. Way more recently, one last time out, he looks great. Obviously, he is carrying 12 stone, and we know that is hard to do.
He's not. He's got a £7 claim run.
He's not carrying 12 stone. He's carrying 12 stone minus £7. That's what he's doing. If you've got a spare tenner lying around, I think 11-4 Delta Work to win the cross country is. So, what's your £10 challenge going to be, Huggett?
My £10 bet is going to be on Dashiell Drasher in the Cleve Hurdle. For reasons I stated earlier, I think he's the best horse in the race, obviously, if I'm picking him. just I think he's a classy horse. He's he can do it all. Stays at Cheltenham very well.
Obviously, it's our yard.
Yeah, it's the mile. It's our the horse we have the partnership in is the mole care, and he's at Jeremy Scott.
And as we said, we've got a great place, great yard, great environment, and I like that bet from you.
It's my £10 bet. It's going to be on Dash or Drasher.
So now we're going to have a look at the Cheltenham Festival the first day. And obviously the first race is the Supreme Hurdle, which is looking, the more and more time goes on, the harder it seems to oppose Vasyl Vega for me.
I can 100% agree with that.
I just, the more I look through it, I'm like, I really like Tamouris. I love that horse. I think it's got so much class. And I think out of the English contingents, I would 100% see Tamouris running a great race. And I think if the market principles show up and you can get Tamouris at maybe five, sixes, and each way backable price, I would definitely back Tamouris each way if I was going to have a bet. But obviously, by the time I get to the festival, I will have a lot of anti-post bets with Vasyl Vega in.
The thing is, you don't, like, Marine Nationale is an unknown.
Obviously, at this stage, it's like there's so many unknowns. Marine Nationale will run in the Supreme.
No, I'm not saying she won't. I'm saying, like,
what ability wise?
She's only run once this season. Yeah. Or no, twice.
Very true. And Gaelic Warrior go for the Ballymore. Lucia, Mare's Novice. Maybe if they fancy their luck, then go Supreme. High Definition. Did you watch High Definition's first run?
I did.
The most overhyped flat horse of all time. I remember favourite for the Derby anti-post after its maiden win. And then it just never lived up to expectations. Gone hurdling. I never thought I'd see that horse hurdling. And he looks like he's got the knack of it as well.
Yeah, he was smart.
I think another each way bet for me, I think putting Il Téton at 16s, Vasyl Vega won that race. He was never going to get beaten. But I felt a little bit stressed for maybe a second by Il Téton. I think that horse has class and speed. And I think they're going to be backing the big names. And I think he could get 14s. Maybe you could get 14s, 12s for that horse on the day. And I think each way, I think he's definitely a player because obviously, you know, it's horse racing, anything can happen. And I think, I think you've got a few each way.
I think you can't obviously look past Vasyl Vega for the win.
But there are a few each way plays there if you want to go for it.
I definitely agree with that tomorrow.
God, I can't wait for that. I cannot wait. We stood on the lawn watching Vasyl Vega bolt in.
Well,
dreamy. I know so.
He knows.
And the next race is the Arkle, which for a long time, John Bond has been a favourite. And he looks to have so much class. The jumping ability is 100% there. It is just, who is Willie Mullins going to bring? And it's something that I can't answer now.
I quite like, if Dice Art Dynamo, if Paul Towner and Rise Dice Art Dynamo, and at the Dublin Racing Festival, Dice Art Dynamo beats. He's racing against El Fabio.
Yeah, he'll race against El Fabio, probably.
If he beats him, I'm not backing John Bond. I'm going for Dice Art Dynamo.
You think? Yeah. I'm just scarred. Obviously, John Bond. I think John Bond would have beat Dice Art Dynamo. It would have been close in the Supreme last year. Obviously, they were miles behind Constitution Hill, but I just feel. I don't know. I thought my fancy into the Supreme for a long time was Dice Art Dynamo until the day, really. But I think it's kind of Hoopal Rise is the main challenger to John Bond for me. I think. And outside of that, it's just like the Arkle is hard to win for not a big yard.
Yeah,
I think.
Agreed.
Minus Edward Stone for Alan King. Alan King is obviously a big yard, but he's not. You know, he's not Willie Mullins, Nicky Henderson.
Yeah.
And that's like the only time I've really, really seen it recently. And then you got like Mighty Potter, but Mighty Potter won't run here, I don't think. Should run in the oh my god, I've gone blank. What's the 2.5 mile?
Ballymore.
No, that's the hurdle. The Brown Advisory. Or Turners. Either one of those. But yeah, no, I think that race is hard to call now. I think that race is really hard to call. Mm.
Now we got the champion hurdle.
And I've been from watching. I love Up in the Ante. I listen to everything and I follow everything. Johnny Dineen's opinion on Vauban. I can't be having it.
Do you not agree?
I could not agree. I could not disagree anymore. I think a bet on without Constitution Hill with the rest of the field. Obviously, those bets are hard because horses are ridden in different ways to win the race. I think he can overturn that Stayman form. And I could sound stupid here, as he did beat him last time out pretty comfortably. But I just think Vauban, first one of the season, I think he might have more pace. The way he won the Triumph last year was just... There was something I love. That little turn of... He had that sparkle that you look for in a Triumph winner. And I think he's definitely worth a bet without Constitution Hill on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you really can do, I guess.
Or if you get Constitution Hill to win by 10 lengths or more at even, so I'd back that as well.
Well, yeah, but he is. Would.
Yeah, it's...
So you're going for Vauban without
Constitution Hill? Without Constitution Hill. But obviously, you know, Constitution Hill is Constitution Hill.
I'm going...
Being quoted by
I'm
others.
I'm going on the nose, Constitution Hill.
On the nose.
Easiest,
10 lengths
or easiest more. Bet of the weekend, mate. Of the week, even.
You cannot be plotting up a 4-1. You can't be tipping up a 4-1 on shot. I refuse to let you do that on the Reverse Forecast podcast.
Just did.
I refuse.
Just did. We got an exciting one in the next, though. The Close Brothers Mares Hurdle. Finn,
this
you
is
fancy
my bet.
You fancy Brandy
famously
Love.
Named after the porn star Brandy Love.
You fancy Brandy Love.
She is. She's my horse. I will forever. My biggest bet I've ever had was on Brandy Love last time out. When, even though she was going right-handed and she really wants to go left-handed and Cheltenham will sue her down to the ground.
Mm.
I just thought she had way too much class for the rest of them and I thought they had no chance. And I was proven right. She won by 8 lengths easily.
I agree.
This horse has been, it's in all my combinations. It's in every bet I've got.
Well, you might want it to run soon then.
I know. And that
if
is
I you,
terrifying.
I'd be shivering right now.
I know, it is terrifying. And I've tipped this up to a few people as well. And if I start speaking about racing, and then I'm like, yeah, I tip off, and I'm trying to get into racing more and more. And they're like, oh, so they obviously everyone wants to have a better channel because it's the best place. And I always go Brandy Love, back Brandy Love, Mares Hurdle. Every time anyone
are
ever
you,
asks me.
If she decides to go straight to Cheltenham, are you less confident? Or
I'm less confident, but I'm still with her 100% the way.
So you're not... Are you... How scared of you of Maurice Rock are you?
I love Maurice
Because she's
Rock.
A proper horse, Maurice Rock.
You're flipping crush.
Yeah. Well, if Brandy Love does not turn up, I think Maurice Rock is going to take a little beating.
And I think, obviously, Honeysuckle is still in the betting here. And she won't run. And I respect that decision so much from the owners and Henry de Bromhead to not put the disrespect on her name, I think.
I agree.
I think that
you never know. You could see Honeysuckle come past the line in front of Constitution Hill.
You know, yeah, exactly.
You never know.
One bad run, the world's putting her behind. And I have so much time for that horse. But I do think... Even if she showed up here, I do think Brandy Love would still be here, to be honest. If you can get a run under Brandy Runs, under Brandy Love's belt. And if you look at the form, Brandy Love beat Love Envoy by 8 lengths. Love Envoy this season has been a revolution. That horse is...
She's been very good. I'm slightly worried, though. Why hasn't Willie Mullins brought Brandy Love
so
out?
Worried. I know.
Because you would have thought... There must be an injury of some sort, though.
Like right now, I'm reading 3-1. I don't know. I think that's the correct price. We'll probably.
I think.
Probably,
I
probably
think
get bigger
fours.
Fours.
You
on
Bet
365, but yeah, I think I backed her on all my things at sevens and sixes, and I think, yeah, that's my bet of the festival. If she can get a run in, before, Brandy Love for me. Who's it for you?
I think I am with... I hate to do this, but if Brandy Love can get a run in and she is still the same horse in that run, I'll go Brandy Love.
It's a lot of ifs.
But if she's not, if she doesn't have a run, I'm going Marie's Rock.
Fair enough. There is Marie's Rock for Huggett. Brandy Love for me. And the last race of that day is the National Hunt Chase for amateur jockeys. And I can't have a stronger opinion. I cannot have Gala Dumanil to win this race.
Can you not?
I don't know why. I think the grade one...
Is he definitely going to turn up her?
Yeah. He will do. I mean, once, you know, as... Like, Willie, once he's got a plan, like, if it's favourite, if it's that short price favourite, if it's a clear race for it to have a great chance in, they're going to run. But I can't be having it. I think the grade one last time was hands down the weakest, most fall apart of a grade one I've ever seen. I can't...
This race last year?
No. Or Gala Dumanil last time out. And obviously, you know, rest in peace, Three Stripe Life.
Yeah, that was sad.
Very sad. And I know Paul Tannen will probably ride Gala Dumanil, but I have such a soft spot for Ramillies. I think Ramillies has so much class, and William Wellens loves that horse. I can just tell that he loves that horse. He speaks about that wet.
You sound like you love that horse as well.
I am in love with that horse. He speaks about that horse in such like a... I don't know what I mean, but I just feel like he just speaks about him and just the way that he knows that he's good. He just needs to find the right...
Mullins is in love.
Yeah, Mullins is in love, I reckon. I really like this race. I think 7-4 favourite Gala Dumanil is crazy when you've got a horse like Jerry Clom as well. Unexposed, the one that's last four. You've also got Chemical Energy, won by 61 lengths at Cheltenham last time on the bridle.
Yeah, sadly we bet on the one Rachel was riding. I can't remember what it was called.
Life in the Park?
Yeah.
Life in the Park?
And Chemical Energy bolted up.
And I know, I remember... And Johnny Denis was telling her up in the ante that Marla Mission was going to reverse 61 lengths with Chemical Energy next time out. That's what he says. Can't be having that one, Jerry. I meant Johnny. I don't know why I call him Jeremy. I think I was reading something and then just called him Jeremy.
I'm violating him.
But it's Hidden Heroics. That's your horse.
Who? Hidden Heroics, yeah.
Every time a horse comes in at Cheltenham, we always go... Give us a bash to the jockey.
Get the jockey to give us a bash.
Give us a bash, Harry.
Yeah, he wasn't a fan of that last one.
Or you go, go on, Harry, how easy, Harry?
When it's that easy, you got to give it a how easy, I think.
So here, I'm having Ramillies in this race. If he goes here, I'm going to have Ramillies. What about you?
I am having Chemical Energy if he runs here.
So there you go. Best odds, Ramillies, 10-1. What's best odds on Chemical Energy?
9-2.
There you go. Those are our tips for the National Hunt Chase. So I think that is it on the first episode of the Reverse Forecast podcast. It's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Reverse Forecast podcast.
Reverse Forecast podcast. You got to say it really quick. And then...
Say it really quick, exactly. So everyone, watch out for the mole care.
Yeah.
Watch out for the colours.
Yeah.
What are they, Harry?
They are dark blue with light blue hoop in the middle, and then light blue armlets.
Yeah, and a white
and
cap.
And a white cap.
I've been Finn Muirhead. Thank you so much for listening.
I've been Harry Huggett. Thank you very much, guys. Hope you enjoy.
And we're the Reverse Forecast. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you.
Bash.